This I recall to mind, therefore I have confidence. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions never fail. They are renewed every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore will I have confidence in him. The Lord is good to those who trust in him, to those who wait for him. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to a predetermined plan. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up as a substitute for all of us, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to be our substitute. And though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich and have riches in glory in heavenly places. Now, Father, we commemorate that grace through giving, but never grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves the well-motivated giver. We ask this in the name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Yeah.
As always, this morning we will begin our service with a few moments of silent prayer, utilizing the rebound technique and preparing ourselves for our study this morning. So without further ado, let's begin and spend those moments in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, remember the city of Houston today, those who have lost, those who are in peril, those who are in despair. And Father, may they see at this time the wonderful grace of God, and may we, as believers in Jesus Christ, facilitate that picture for them so that they might understand what disaster is and what it is meant to be. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I don't have to tell you what's going on in the city of Houston as we speak. I'm surprised that so many of you could make it here because of the flood and the inability to travel. But it's also very encouraging that you have made that effort to come together as a congregation in Baraka Church and to listen to Bible doctrine. This, of course, is a collective disaster in the city and to southeast Texas and to western Louisiana. I don't have to tell you that. We have lost infrastructure. We have lost businesses. We have, in some cases, lost the basic necessities of life. It's an economic disaster. And the nation, of course, will also suffer the impact of gas availability, higher prices, to name just one thing. But there's also the individual side of this natural disaster, the losses that are so very personal. Some have lost work, incomes. Some have lost property and possessions like houses and all their contents and cars. Some have had personal tragedies in their families. My own suffering seems to be a very small thing in the scope of all the devastation that surrounds us. I didn't lose property or house or automobile. But in the midst of all this, I had to put my dog of 16 years down. For me, it was gut-wrenching, as those of you who have done that certainly know. But in all this suffering, mine, yours, all of us, comes that age-old question. How could God let this happen? Why would so many good people have to suffer? We can understand the bad ones, but why the good ones? Why do maturing believers have to suffer? Why such seeming tragedy and loss? Well, I know that you know the answer, the spiritual answer. God knew in eternity past every adversity, every bit of suffering, every heartache, every disaster that would ever come upon the human race or you individually. He already knew it. That means he knew everything that could be classified as tragic that would happen in your life. And he made provision for you to come through this and receive blessing in it and through it. God the Father provided the most fantastic system of spiritual problem-solving devices. Thus, we know that our suffering is meant for good. How can you not think of Romans 8:28? All things do work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his predetermined plan. This is the acceleration of our spiritual growth. No other system in life can deal with suffering and adversity in such a complete way, an all-encompassing way, turning cursing into blessing, adversity into triumph, and give comfort in disaster. You see, when the power of the Holy Spirit is in action, and Bible doctrine is being applied, there are no tragedies in life. You know all of that, or you should know it. You've heard it enough. But what I just said to you, in many ways, is academic. You know the doctrine, but it may not initially reach into the realm of your emotional reaction to what has just happened to you or to others or to the city. There is that very human emotional response to disaster and to loss. Let me help you with understanding these moments to show the power of doctrine in the soul when utilized. My little dog, BJ was his name, brought it home to me as no other way could have. The terrible pain of losing him carried to me a message of such great comfort and confidence, yet still being very hard. His demise, you see, is a microcosm to what we should all know and what we should apply. And so the rest of this message this morning, I'm going to dedicate to him, and of course to all who have suffered loss at this moment. 6 months ago, BJ was diagnosed by my veterinarian, Dr. L.D. Eckerman, who is a fantastic vet and also a deacon in this church. He diagnosed BJ with cancer, terminal cancer. Of course, like any good pet owner, I said, well, how long does he have left? And the answer was not definitive, but probably in the neighborhood of 6 months based on the type and the progression. And what followed was a great amount of care for him by me and by members of my staff here at Baraka. Nothing heroic was to be done to preserve his life, but treatment to keep him comfortable and happy for the rest of his life. And it worked very, very well. That's what he was, comfortable and happy. But you see, I knew the end was coming intellectually. And Dr. Eckerman explained to me how it would happen, so I knew what to look for. It would not be a gradual deterioration, and for that I was thankful. He would be himself to the very end. That in the end was the grace of God. I could have him as I had always known him for the 15 and a half years of his life until that time when he would depart. But when the end would come, he explained the symptoms that would be obvious. Old BJ would let me know in no uncertain terms. There would be a change in his demeanor. There would be pain, and it would come on rather quickly, which it did, as do most of our disasters in life, come on us quickly, unexpectedly. My prayer for him had been so often, let me be there when it's his time, when his time comes. Not out of town, not on a conference, unavailable for that moment, such that he would have to be alone. And the Lord answered that prayer. When Harvey struck, he and I were isolated for those 3 full days, just the two of us, riding out the storm. We were trapped by the water, as many of you were. We could go nowhere, so we spent that time together. Great companion, always was. For me, therefore, the storm was a period of blessing, although it certainly didn't seem so at the time. But you see, God meant it for my benefit, just in this one little area. On Wednesday evening, He showed the symptoms that I knew would happen. He was in pain, and one of his bodily functions ceased to operate. By then, the roads were open enough for me to rush him to the clinic. He was made very, very comfortable when he was in pain, and he died in my arms. That hurt, let me tell you, and it was no longer intellectual. This was my personal loss, and it was very emotional. I'm holding it back right now. And for 24 hours afterwards, it was overwhelming grief in my soul. I had lost family. And I will continue to grieve for a long time. But it came to me in my pain and suffering, some doctrine that was brought to mind, of course, by God the Holy Spirit. Under those circumstances, it can be done in no other way. I began to refocus on how God's hand was in these circumstances, how his grace was so apparent even in this seeming tragedy for me, as it is to every believer in any disaster or in any suffering in our life. First of all, I had the dog I loved right up until the end, no change. But it was definitely his time to go. That's so clear. And I realized how perfect is God's timing. I think what it would have been like if BJ had shown those painful symptoms while we were trapped. I could do nothing for him. Watch him die in agony. That I could do. But that didn't happen. Again, the timing and the grace of God was entirely evident. I like to call it BJ's dying grace. And that is comforting for me to know. It was the right time for him to go in the right way. An indelible work of God's hand in these series of events. That I thought upon. As I drove him to that clinic Wednesday evening, I was all but certain that he would not be returning home with me. And that was just the beginning of the emotional roller coaster that night. Many of you have had that same feeling over the last few days, whatever your circumstances may be. You know, there's always that very deep emotion at the moment when such a terrible event begins and becomes so real to our senses. Even though I knew this moment would happen, it didn't make it any easier on my emotions. Nor, I suspect, did it make it any easier on yours when you live in a floodplain and it had rained 10 inches in an hour. Where was all that doctrine, I might ask myself? Well, it was still there. You see, I realized in all of this, it's okay to let your emotions play out under these circumstances. But here again was the blessing of doctrine. Emotion did not become emotionalism. Out of control emotions, emotions that won't allow for any thought or evaluation from doctrine. Emotions that snuff out spiritual problem solving. Doctrine would bring insight, stability, along with the terrible grief. Oh, I still grieve. But I can bring you the message of BJ even in my grief, because the doctrine has taken precedent. I see the big picture because of doctrine. through a dog's life and death is illustrated what doctrine really does for us all the time, in the good times and the disasters. You know, I began to reflect on my dog's existence, on the pleasure and the companionship that he brought to me. He lived through some of the most momentous times of my life. Always the picture of unconditional love through my failures and a reminder of humility in successes. He kept his eyes, and this was the hard part, he kept his eyes on me as his master all the time, even to the end. I was his everything. All he wanted in life was to be with me. That was it. That was his whole purpose in life. And I knew that at the moment of the end because he licked my hand before he left. He told me. What a beautiful lesson. We all need to keep our focus on Jesus Christ and His Word. He is everything. He is our focus. BJ showed me that in his life and his death. Is that not what we are in the arms of the Lord until He calls us home? The circumstances are incidental. BJ was no doubt a grace provision and a doctrinal example that I needed, and so do you. I won't go through the procedure and moment that he passed. It's still very raw, and many of you know that moment. But even as the light went out and I said goodbye, God's plan was marching on. And BJ had something to do with it. His death had meaning beyond his loss. Do I know right now what that meaning is? No, not entirely. Not over the long run. But I am confident that God is doing something here for my benefit, using the loss of that little dog. He was important to me. And one day, I will understand what that loss meant as my gain. That incident that seems inconsequential in the whole scope of life. But suffering is never inconsequential. Remember that. It's never inconsequential, no matter how small. That's what Christ told Peter in John 13:7 at the foot washing incident that we've been studying. You don't understand now. He said, what I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. I don't understand. Why did I have to lose him? Why now? Why in this period of difficulty? Because he's the example of how to handle the difficulty. Peter didn't understand then, but he will. And this is our application in pain and suffering. Our seeming tragedies are always at the right time, at the right place, for His plan and His purposes to move forward, or to redirect our lives in ways that we don't know, but we will. I don't know the course of your life. I don't know the full course of my life. But right now I know what lesson I was taught from the death of that little dog. And now the lesson that you're getting from that little dog in your pain and your suffering. Let me give you a doctrinal rationale and a perspective for all of this Thanks to BJ, I'll make it the doctrine of BJ. How about the rationale of God's essence? God's essence. You know, people have said, if God were good and loving and omnipotent, he would eliminate all disaster, all suffering, this kind of situation that's so hard on people. And so their conclusion, since it does happen, there is no God, or he's not a loving God, or this is not a God I want to know. Well, that's to assume four things. First, that man has no free will and would never, never choose for evil, which would, of course, bring suffering to others. We do it all the time. You see, that's our choice. Secondly, it's to assume that God would make the weather always idyllic and never destructive in a fallen world. Only the Garden of Eden was idyllic. The rest of the world is affected by the fall, as is what happened to us in these last few days. Third, it's to assume that it is impossible for God to have a reason to allow a disaster and suffering to run its course. Or point four, that it is impossible for God, and this is important, to have a greater purpose in mind than our limited vision or personal loss. He always has a greater purpose in mind. That greater purpose includes nations. It includes people. It includes you, regardless of what you go through. In fact, because of what you go through. You see, people overlook the interplay between other variables in this equation of disaster that we are experiencing. They think nothing else matters but preventing pain and suffering. There's no reason for it. How could this happen? But it is not simply a matter of, God, don't let anything bad happen. That's often our prayer. Preclude pain, preclude suffering. I don't want this to happen. We all do it. But there are other factors involved. As I mentioned, human freedom, man's sin nature, a fallen world, the evil one, the angelic conflict. They're all a part of this. Think of it that way. Not in the midst of the disaster, but this is a rationale to understand it. And there's also the elements of divine justice and righteousness and veracity and wisdom and love, which must be emphasized sometimes through disaster. If I had every reason that God had in mind for allowing what happened to happen, if I could explain to you what reasons God had for me, for you, for this city, for this nation, and what happened because of Hurricane Harvey, I would approach omniscience. But I'm not. So I've got to be patient to understand what's happened here as far as my life is concerned. If I could grow to spiritual maturity and perfect doctrinal application without ever testing my faith, then I would approach perfect humility. But I am not. No one is. Thus, a test and waiting And trusting in the Lord is necessary. You see, God is always up to something that is beyond our capability to fully understand, because He loves us and He wants the best for us. That you can always understand. There is never a disaster. There's never a test. There's never a loss. There's never pain or suffering that God does not mean for our benefit. No, but wait a minute. Have you seen the water out there? Yes, I have. I spent a bit of time pumping it out of my atrium to keep it from going into the house. I had about a quarter of an inch left. Yeah. I've seen the water, so have you. A lot of people, several people in this church, had water up to their necks. What's the blessing? Again, I'm not omniscient. But in application of doctrine, there's blessing. And in the circumstances, there is blessing. God means it for good. All things do work together for good. All things, not the things that I like or I want, all things, even this disaster, it always works out for those who love Him. That is what testing and suffering is for. To become cognizant of His hand and His purposes for everything and in everything. To test our reliance on the Lord and to test our humility. How easy it is to get our eyes on ourselves in this circumstance. How much I've lost. Poor me. My self-pity is overwhelming. No. Application. Strength. Humility. The first thought, God has a purpose for me. I'm still alive. My house may be underwater. My car may be floating. I may have lost family. But He's still got a purpose. He's still got a mission. He's still got a reason. And we need to strengthen ourselves in that way through the application of the doctrine and the wisdom that we have gained. Thank you, BJ. I appreciate that. It was a lesson I needed. And it's timely for us all. So His loss becomes my gain and your gain. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, we're going to spend the closing moments of our service this morning directed toward those who don't understand, who don't see why God is a loving God, why God is a gracious God, why God is anything but mean and justice and righteousness. Well, let me tell you, there is no question that God is a loving God, and it begins with the Lord Jesus Christ. In spite of all disaster, God sent His own Son to us. That was a disaster for Him. To send His only Son, the one He loved infinitely, to this earth to become man, to take on humanity and yet retain all of His deity in one person. And why did He send Him? He sent Him to die. He sent Him to go through one of the most tragic, unjust events in human history. The most innocent, sinless man who has ever lived was crucified. For nothing, but not for nothing. He was crucified for you and for me. Because on that cross, it was God the Father's intention to impute all the sins of all mankind to Jesus Christ. And then He judged this perfect God-man. He judged all of our sins such that they have been paid for. Now think of that. You think when you sin, you're a bad person. Well, you may be. But Jesus Christ paid the penalty for that sin. You see, it's that sin that separates you from God. But when God was satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the sin no longer separates. You have an open door. So how do you walk through that door? Because through that door is eternal life, heaven. The scripture tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his uniquely born son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So there's the means. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, a simple act of non-meritorious faith. You've done nothing to earn or deserve it. Did you deserve Christ coming to this earth? No, but he did for you. And so right where you sit right now, you can take the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, believe it, accept it, and that's the moment of your eternal salvation. How easy. The scripture says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Heavenly Father, regardless of what suffering any of us are going through, you have made the provision for us to deal with it, and not only just to deal with it and live through it, but to find blessing in it. May we not forget that, Father, that in the days and months and years ahead, your purpose marches on, and we're part of it as we are in the plan of God as believers in Jesus Christ, advancing together to spiritual maturity. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.